You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We're talking about an industry that I think needs a lot more attention, especially right here in Milwaukee. Black travel, tourism, and leisure spending is almost $150 billion a year. African Americans take, on average, 184 million trips annually and spend tremendous amounts of money when we do travel, helping local economies. I think that the mindset here is exceptionally narrow-minded. It's really sad. So few people think out of the box. There's almost no room for out-of-the-box thinkers here because you can say stuff that's revolutionary and innovative and you want to move the needle and people will look at you like you're nuts because they have no understanding whatsoever of what you are talking about. And so that is why I said this is a personal thing for me. I would want to capture African-Americans who are coming to Milwaukee for the first time. I want to give them an experience, show them places to go, things to do, places to eat, music venues in which you should see a show. If it's warm weather, do waterfront activities, get you a boat, get out on the river, all of those things. But we need something to cater specifically to an industry of black travel and tourism that spends almost $150 billion. That's a lot of money. Unfortunately, we have a real opportunity. I'm a little nervous, though, because the Black Travel Summit is coming October 14th through 18th. And they are a group of folks that travel internationally, and they rate their travel experiences in different cities all over the world. I didn't even think that they did a lot of domestic travel. They actually don't. They do more international travel, which is good for the African-American folk that have passports. I am, in fact, a passport holder. And in a second, I'm going to go through the details of who does and who does not have a passport. As you would imagine, African-Americans are bringing up the slack, bringing up the rear when it comes to passport ownership. Get a passport, ladies and gentlemen, whether you travel internationally or not. It's a real good piece of identification to have, and it's good for 10 years, just a little rule of thumb. Get you a passport. And then maybe you might want to put some stamps on that passport. And I'm not talking about food stamps. Stamps that you get when you travel to another country. I don't even know what other country I want to go to. I guess I could go to Mexico, but Cancun seems cliche. There's some places in Canada I wouldn't mind. Going to Quebec. Going to Montreal, I heard it's a very beautiful city. Toronto's just right across from Detroit. It's like an hour flight to go to Toronto. Not even an hour and a half, an hour and 10 minutes or something. Vancouver, maybe. I don't know if I want. Do I want to go to Europe? Do I want to go to where white people actually come from? Xavier says yes, but Europeans are dirty and nasty. I want to go to like a sophisticated, you know, high-level, highly educated, clean European city. Maybe Luxembourg. I'll go to the Germans. What'd you say, Xavier?
Go to the country of Luxembourg. It's the highest GDP amongst residents in Europe.
Switzerland. I can go to Switzerland, too. Luxembourg, Switzerland. Maybe the Netherlands. Not that this matters. But whenever I come across information that I've never, you know, heard of before, I'd like to share it with you. Norway, so Scandinavia. But I've heard things like that's a lot of white nationalism in the Scandinavian countries, which would be Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden. However,
Poland.
But I've heard, because, you know, I've followed some passport bros because they all have YouTube channels, and a lot of them travel all over Europe. And they rate their experiences, and it seems where white supremacy would be the strongest. Because a lot of those countries, got African immigrants that they hate. So what's happening here in America and our anti-immigrant sentiment is actually shared in Europe. You know, Europeans are just across the globe, they're shrinking in population and their countries are getting much more diverse. And Europeans, they don't like it so much. And so they turn vicious against these immigrants. Problem is, there have been so many, like, either sanctions or wars that Western countries have been involved in. We are creating refugees all throughout the Middle East, all throughout Africa, and these folks are coming to Europe. They used to come to the United States, but Donald Trump is making that impossible. And so Europeans have this tremendous animosity. And so where the white supremacy is strongest, the women in those countries love black men even more. But here's what I heard about Norway. I probably should verify it, but I heard it, and I was like, oh, it sounds like it could be true. They have – actually, let me Google it.
I think I know what you're talking about. That's, like, not true.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Ooh, I type fast. Okay. Yep. Norway has the largest average breast size for a woman. Yeah. And I heard it on a little, I was watching the TikToks. I was like, what?
I was thinking about something completely different.
What was you thinking?
Where they have like these seminars where they're looking for black men.
They might.
No, that's not true.
Top ranked countries, Norway, average cup size is C or D.
What do you like, the front or the back more?
Oh, back for sure. Oh, God, yeah. Come on now. United States is number two. Then the United Kingdom. Then Venezuela. Then Colombia. I mean, I'm just saying, if in case that's what you're looking for. I'm here to offer something for everybody. And if you're listening to my program and I'm talking about something that is not of interest to you, that's okay, baby. Just keep listening. I'll get to your interest level. Just let me make my way through the program. Passports is where the racial differences become much clearer. A nationally representative YouGov survey of United States citizens provides unusually clean racial passport data. 55% of Hispanics living in America have a passport. Yeah, because they probably want to go travel throughout their diaspora. Think about how many places on planet Earth, mostly in this hemisphere, that speak Spanish. You've got a good chunk of the Caribbean. You've got every damn city in the United States has got a bunch of Hispanics. Everywhere. It might not even be any black people. It may not even be any Asians. You're going to find you a Mexican in Montana. I promise you. You'll find you a Mexican in the panhandle of Oklahoma, Idaho. You're going to find you a Mexican. But also think about Mexico, Central America, the entire continent save for Brazil. All speak Spanish. So that would make sense if you are a Latina or a Latino, an American, you get your passport and you can travel throughout your diaspora. So Hispanics actually have the largest percentage of passport holders at 55%. Next are Caucasians. 42% of white people in the United States have a passport. Now, that 42%, while it is smaller than the Hispanics' 55%, 42% of the white population is probably somewhere north of 120 or 130 million people. That's a lot of white folks with passports. And then African Americans, 34% of us have passports. A full 66% of us do not. And the average for all U.S. citizens is 43%. So just under half of all Americans have a passport, with African Americans having the smallest share of passport holders. Thus, approximately one third of black American citizens had a current passport, compared to about two fifths of whites and more than half of Hispanics. About 66% of black American citizens do not have a current U.S. passport. The white figure was about 58% without one, while roughly 45% of Hispanics lacked a current passport. Unfortunately, that survey did not publish a statistically reliable Asian estimate separately, and its residual, quote, other category had too small of a sample size. There's also evidence that this black passport gap is longstanding. Nationwide, a nationwide 2012 registered voter survey found valid passport ownership of approximately 25% black, 35% white, and 42% Hispanic. So since 2012, I don't know why they equate registered voters with passport ownership, but I guess that might make sense. If you're a registered voter and you are civic minded, then maybe you might also have a wanderlust and an interest in travel. I find that kind of an interesting combination of variables there. But passport ownership has gone up since 2012 pretty dramatically amongst all racial groups, including African Americans. The improvement from roughly 25% African American passport ownership in that older registered voter study to 34% in YouGov's most recent citizen survey should not be interpreted as a precise 9-point time series because the samples and methodologies differ. Why passport ownership matters when discussing black travel. A passport is not necessary for most black tourism dollars. You know where I think I'd go? I think I'd go to Puerto Rico first. But Puerto Rico it's not a country, is it? No, it's a commonwealth. The country of Puerto Rico, no, because the country would suggest a different, like, president. Donald Trump's so stupid. He did an interview, I don't know, it's a couple of years ago. He's like, oh, I just got off the phone with the president of Puerto Rico. They're a very nice person. I like the president of Puerto Rico. You dumb mother father. You the president of Puerto Rico, you idiot. Statehood for Puerto Rico. The Republicans don't want Puerto Rico to become a state because they'd be blue. And also, I don't even know if I want 51 states. I like 50. It's an even number. Unless we steal Canada. What happened to that? Are we supposed to steal Canada? Someone from Milwaukee traveling to Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas, New Orleans, Los Angeles, Orlando, New York, or Houston does not need a passport. Well, duh. Oh, those are the cities that we travel. That's where black people go. Oh, I'm not shocked by this. These are African Americans' top travel destinations. Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas, New Orleans, Los Angeles, Orlando, Florida, New York, and Houston. Black Americans can simultaneously have relatively low passport ownership and still constitute a $145 billion travel market. In fact, the MMGY study says 79% of black leisure travelers traveled by automobile, reinforcing the importance of road trips and domestic destinations to our travel market. Is there a generational divide amongst black travelers? Yes. Black millennials. So when were the millennials? Those are like 1980 to maybe 94, I think. MMGY finds that black millennials have an especially strong attraction to destinations that celebrate black history and culture and show greater interest in supporting black-owned businesses while traveling. Think Ghana, Senegal. So these are the favorite destinations of black millennials, black folks born between 1980 and 1994. They go to Ghana, they go to Senegal, they go to South Africa, all Caribbean destinations. They like New Orleans, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., historically black cultural destinations and black-owned restaurants, hotels, and tour companies. That's what I should do. I'm going to start a black Milwaukee tourism company. It's like, we'll welcome you here, and we'll give you an itinerary. Here's what's going on. You let me know when you're coming, okay? You let us know, and I'm going to put together an itinerary for you. I'm going to give you where you should stay. I'm going to give you your transportation options, okay? I'm going to give you where you should eat your breakfast, where you should eat your brunches and your lunches and your dinners. I'm going to give you daytime activities and afternoon activities. I'm going to give you nighttime activities. Ooh, this is a good thing, because where else can you get all this information in like a single clearinghouse? Like, if I'm traveling to whatever city, I would like to have an agency and an organization that knows the nuances and the specifics of what the fickle African-American traveler is looking for. I want to go to the best black cultural experiences you have. At the same time, I also want to go to just the overall best experiences that you have in your city. But to have something that speaks to us culturally, because in Milwaukee, this is a very unusual place, because you might do your research on the region and end up like in Pewaukee or in Waukesha somewhere and not at all feel welcome, even though you might read about a place or a destination or a restaurant that's in one of those outer suburbs, even though technically that is the metro area, you may get a lower quality of service because the segregation in the region still breeds animosity amongst the races. So a place where you can get all the information, where you want, where you should go eat, where you should stay, you would pay us, and we'll put together your itinerary. Also, if you're here during the week, Milwaukee is very different during the week than it is on the weekends. A lot more things to do on the weekends, but also in the summertime, Milwaukee is an incredible city in the summer. It is starting to wind down. It was 50 damn degrees this morning. You know what that means. Fall is approaching, but this summer was, I got the most out of this summer. I will say that. I took full advantage. Sometimes I just, you know, I stay busy working and focused on other stuff. I don't really enjoy our warm weather months. Oh, I got the most out of this. In fact, I got so much out of this summer, I'm actually ready for winter. Wintertime activities are different as well. There's still stuff to do and places to go. But if there was a central clearinghouse where this huge industry of $145, almost $150 billion of black travelers could have a place and a space where they can get all the information that they need when they come to Milwaukee, I think that that could be a business idea. Black Gen Z. Gen Z appears particularly price sensitive. Oh, because they're broke. You Gen Z, Xavier? What are you, a millennial? All right, so maybe you're not as broke. MMGY reports that affordability is one of the stronger destination considerations. So I'm going to pause there, come back, talk about Black Gen Zers and where they travel to and the things that they prioritize when they go more than 250 miles from home. You're listening to, I suppose, a preview of the Black Travel Summit edition of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, exclusively on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Should I pull up and remind you? Took me long enough to find you. That my money, Carolina. Blow, blow, blow.
Lady B says. Ooh, wee. Yes, Linda. Linda's right. He looks like daddy right now. What is it with these women objectifying men? Y'all need to keep it in your damn pants. Women are way worse than we are.
Send them photos.
You want to see photos of them?
Yes.
No, you don't. I guarantee you don't.
Well, I just like to put they always want to see what we look like. Let's see what they look like.
If anything, you need to show your face because they be asking what you look like.
Oh, they'll never see my face.
I was at the Metro Market on State Street yesterday. I didn't recognize her at first, but I saw Millicent. And so I didn't recognize her because I'm in my own world. I'm actually leaving the grocery store. Putting my cart away, walking back to my vehicle. And she's talking, she's with another person. And she was like, there he is. Get him. I think it was her grandson. I don't know what the hell is going on. I was like, oh, I got to whoop some ass in the grocery store. She's like, yeah, that's right. And his name is Fred. She said, Fred, get him. That's him right there. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to kick Fred's ass. Now, Fred is like 7 years old, but that don't matter. That don't matter. Fred might have been in karate since he was four. But then I was like, wait a minute, because I heard her voice. I was like, oh, Millicent? And then, okay, imagine this now. We're in a Metro Market in Wauwatosa, 69th and State Street, okay? And we are in the, you know, when you walk up to the grocery store and you have those sliding glass doors and you'll have that lobby area where the carts are. So we're standing there, and there's people coming and going. It's people walking into the grocery store. It's people walking out of the grocery store. So there's traffic going past me and Millicent. And the majority of the people, because I looked around, I scanned, you see, the majority of the people were Caucasian. And here's what Millicent says to me, and y'all know her from when she calls. She says some of the most outrageously extreme things, especially when it comes to what we all consider is below board African-American behavior that does not represent who and what we are. It's very embarrassing for us. So Millicent always has some very strong words for those African-American folk who act in a way that make us look bad, you see. You know, and she says this, and there's people walking in and out. She says, sure, when black folks like us need to have a dot on our heads so that people know that we're the good ones. He's like, we need a name for those other kinds, Sherwin. She's just saying this just out loud, okay, in a grocery store. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to put a dot on my head for a number of reasons. I also don't want to have to identify myself as, quote, one of the good ones because we might be a bigger target. But then she says, you know, Sherwin, we need a name for those other kinds of blacks. You know, the kind that we don't like. We need a name. I said, Millicent, there is a name for them. Trust me. And it gets used often. She's like, no, not that name. We need another name for them. I was like, I got to go. And we're in the, imagine where we are. We're in a damn grocery store where people are getting their carts. And she's, we got it. We should put a dot on our head so people know that we're the good ones. Who thought of that idea? At the same time, she's telling her grandson to beat me up. So I was ready to kick him in his face. But he just kind of looked at me kind of confused. And so I walk out, and I'm headed toward my vehicle, and then I hear, oh, Sherwin Hughes. I'm like, damn, I can't go nowhere. And shout out to Steve. I guess I met Steve. He said I met him a couple of years ago. Don't get mad at me if I don't remember who y'all are. I can't remember every damn body. But now I'm trying to get to my vehicle. And I'm chatting with Steve. I'm not going to walk away from him. Steve is a very cool dude, and he said he loves listening to the show, and he also gave his thoughts and opinions on 101.7 The Truth. And I love to hear thoughts and opinions. I want to hear from you all. I like when you guys are honest because that helps us. It helps us grow. It helps us become better hosts and better producers. So Steve is giving me his thoughts and feelings about 101.7 The Truth. Steve is a longtime listener. Shout out to Steve. Now, Steve wants to take some damn pictures. So now I'm standing here with a grocery bag in my hand. Millicent just said we need to identify ourselves with a dot on our head so people know that we're one of the good blacks. And she's trying to have a powwow with me in a grocery store talking about we need to come up with a name for the bad black people. And I said, I got to go, Millicent. And then her grandson, Fred, is just looking confused. I was ready to kick Fred's little seven-year-old ass, though. I sent him back to school. It was back to school time. I sent him back to school with a shiner. I wish a seven-year-old would come up to me. Think I won't defend my damn self? Some of these seven-year-olds will kick you in the nuts.
Sounds like a nightmare to me.
So I'm taking pictures with Steve, and you don't want it, Xavier.
I already know I don't. I don't want people come up to me, oh, Xavier, you said this on the radio. I'm like, I don't even remember half the things I say.
Which I've fallen victim to that as well, because everything that I say, even if I don't remember it, doesn't matter. I got to be accountable for it, and I got to be able to defend it sometimes years later. I have said things over the years that I have no recollection of whatsoever. Think about this. I talk for 3 hours a day. Oh, Sherwin, I remember something that you said August 15th, 2018. You remember that show? Why do you think that I remember that? I don't know what I ate for dinner yesterday. I honestly don't remember. I don't remember. Yeah, it can be. But no, it's great, though. I like. Because I always take the time. If you take your time to listen to me and you want to chop it up for a minute, assuming I'm not in a real big hurry, I'll always take time to talk to people. But also, not everybody is nice. That's the other thing. Some people have legitimate complaints. Most of those people, when they see me, they're not confrontational. Now, there's been confrontations before, but they're usually manageable. Or what will happen is I'll go somewhere, I'll be doing whatever. And this is creepy because people won't say anything when they see me, which is fine. But then they'll, like, hit my inbox. Sure, when I saw you, you were wearing a white shirt and a blue hat. I saw, I was looking at you. I was seeing you three rows ahead of me, and I watched you the whole time. I don't like that.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. But they're respectful because they'll say, like, oh, I don't want to bother you. You look like you was on one, or you look like you was doing hood rat stuff. You look like you was doing some dirt, and I didn't want to disturb you. I'm like, oh, I do appreciate that because sometimes I'm.
Yeah, if you ever find out what I look like, don't come up to me in public.
They will. They're mostly flattering most of the time. Women get nervous, except for Linda. I got to run from her. So I got to stay in shape too. Linda will wrap her leg around you.
Yeah, too bad she can't get you on Saturday.
We ain't going to talk about Saturday. Just everybody come to Truth Family Fest. Everybody have a good time. Come on out to Riverside High School from 11 until 2. It's going to be a lot of resources there. It's going to be the back to the school supplies. Duh, of course. Going to be some entertainment there. Benjamin might be there. You never know who's going to be at Truth Family Fest. You guys make sure you go to Truth Family Fest, our annual event that we have every single year at Riverside High School.
I think Benjamin will be there, Mr. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Trina Smith said, we did a road trip to Michigan, New York, and Canada. 7 days, 6 nights, and 5 hotels. All right, now. Brew City says, to get a Milwaukee 304, all you need is a bottle and some za. Nobody wants a Milwaukee 304. I was looking out my window yesterday, and there was, I don't know, she's probably in her early 20s, maybe. Multicolored, I don't know if it was a weave or a wig, but her hair was like blonde, blue, red, and pink, and it was long. And she's wearing jogging pants, tennis shoes, and a satin bra, okay? And she's with another woman that was very much a stud. Like, I didn't recognize it as a woman at first. I thought it was a man, but it was a stud. And they were doing TikTok dances in front of my house, but across the street. So I told you guys this before. Right across the street from my house is a Francesca Hong yard sign. Come to find out, not only does a white lady live there, it's a white lady with purple hair. She just moved in recently because I saw the furniture delivery. She came out, so my stereotype is true. So you got the white lady with purple hair who's got the Francesca Hong yard sign right across the street from me. And then right next to the Francesca Hong yard sign, you've got a stud and a black woman in her 20s wearing a satin bra and some jogging pants and tennis shoes doing TikTok dances. And this is what I see. This is why I love Milwaukee so much. Where else can you see? Is that the style? Because I know butt cheeks are the style. Girls of all ages are wearing shorts with butt cheeks. What?
Yeah.
Why would you? I mean, not. So in my day, it was Daisy Dukes. But Daisy Dukes, they would cover, you know, the bottom of the butt cheek where you got the curve of the butt cheek. Like the fringe of the cutoff jean shorts would usually cover the bottom of the butt cheek. Our women in my generation didn't have pure butt cheek. Now, these women look like they're wearing panties.
Yeah, we want to see the undermeat. Undermeat flopping around.
I can't understand that. But to see this woman, and wasn't a swimsuit top. But I guess when you think about a swimsuit top and a bra are damn near identical. It's just the patterns may be different. But she was just like, just living her best life. Just doing dances. They had the phone set up. I don't. So is that style? You just wear brassieres, ladies?
I would have to see what you're talking about, because when you described it, it kind of sounded like a outfit of a crackhead or something.
Oh, she wasn't a crackhead. She's actually very attractive.
Oh, okay. My kind of woman?
She's black.
Well, I love black women.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Why did you think that?
Because you'd never shown me one.
Well, I don't show you all the women I talk to.
You show me the ones you're most proud of. That's what men do. You show the ones the ones that we're not proud of. We don't show nobody them. That's you keep those.
I got some proud black women I'm proud of.
Oh, dude. Okay. I'm not judging.
I like it all.
Fair enough. If you like it, I love it.
good.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Do your thing. Let's take a commercial break before we get too far off track. Going to talk about Black Gen Z, Black Gen X travelers, but also some details about African-American hospitality. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to start thinking about this because we're going to do a deep dive into this because I want our level of service that we provide to one another, of course, but also when travelers come to Milwaukee, especially when the Black Travel Summit comes here. Listen, we got to be nice because they're going to be blogging about our city. You understand that? We have an opportunity to showcase our city in a way that makes more people want to come. And the more people that come, the more entrepreneurship opportunities, the more damn sea moss we can sell. So I think that we need to put our heads together now before they get here. Now, we got some time. We got about 2 months before they get here. Let's consider, what do we want to show someone who is African-American, who has never been to Milwaukee before? What would you suggest? Where should they go? What should they do? Where should they eat? I also at some point want to talk about food influencers and how they extort restaurants. Are you guys familiar with this? A food influencer will go to a restaurant and say, we're going to order a bunch of food. We want you, the restaurant, to pay for it and give us $1,000. And we will give you a 10 out of 10 review on all of the food, even if the food isn't good. And we'll put it on our social media and your business will go up. If the restaurant owners refuse, they will still frequent the restaurant and give that restaurant 0 out of 10 in order to hurt their business. That's extortion, but that's what some of these food influencers are doing. I'm not going to name any names, but if you watch some of these food influencers on your social media timeline, and if they give everything a 10 out of 10, you know damn well, there ain't no restaurant in the city where everything you order is 10 out of 10. You're going to have some twos. You're going to have some threes. You might have a five. You might have a six. They say everything is 10 out of 10. It's because that restaurant owner paid. They got extorted. It is a horrible, horrible racket. But I'm fascinated by it. We'll talk about that and everything else under the sun. Of course, if you have questions or comments, I don't know, I want to say something that's completely unrelated to the topic, the phone number is the same. It's 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Why is this happening? My music is playing on my phone. Hold on. Everybody relax. I said calm down. There you go. Don't you act surprised. Well, I don't feel good, don't it? I miss the taste of it. And I will write my name. It's kind of a naughty song. Maybe I should turn that down a little bit. A good song, though.
Come I'll be singing you. That tonight.
To who? Yourself? You got a date tonight or something?
Oh, yeah. I got a, well, more after the show, but yes.
All right, then. Knock it out, brother. Lady B says, Xavier, I know what you look like, and I will probably just say, hey. Not really a city girl says, a 7-year-old named Fred. Yeah, you had no chance, sure. When I had to kick Fred's ass. Millicent tried to sick her grandson on me. I was like, I'm ready for dude. Bruce City says, have you been to the north side lately? It's a hellhole. Depends on where. I live on the north side. My north side ain't a hellhole. Black people, can we also get this right? The Harambe neighborhood ain't the damn east side. East side in Milwaukee is east of the river. Everything that is west of the river is not the east side. Stop thinking just because it's that way, it's the east side. East side is a very specific, defined part of the city of Milwaukee. We call every damn thing the east side. Harambe is not the east side, y'all. Holton and Hubbard, that's River West. That's not. No. East side is east of the river. Lady B says, if I see Sherwin out, I would give him a hug. Hold on. Wait a minute now. You don't just be coming up to me. What if a man said that? If you just saw a woman, like, we can't just go up to women and hug them. Why don't women think they can take these kind of liberties? What about my personal space? Gonna come up to me and hug me. Something else. I've told you guys this before. It's a pet peeve of mine. Like, respect people's boundaries. I'll meet somebody for the first time, and I'll reach my hand out. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I'm gonna say, hey, nice to meet you. That's what I do if I meet you for the first time. And then they say some stuff like, I'm a hugger. Yeah, but I'm not. If I know you, yes, absolutely. If I don't, like, don't do that. And they do this, and women do it too. I'm a hugger, and they do this thing. Bring it in. Come here. And if you don't hug them, then it's awkward. But here's the thing. It makes the person rejecting the hug feel awkward. A hug is an intimate gesture. You know? I prefer not to. And just a rule of thumb, if you're a hugger, maybe reserve that for, like, family. If you're meeting, like, a family member for the first time, or someone is new to the family, it's somebody's, I don't know, your cousin, your niece, your nephew got married. Oh, welcome to the family. And then you give them a little hug. That's a little different. But if I don't know you, you know what I mean? You might be trying to pick my pocket or something.
Exactly.
Everybody ain't no damn hugger. Lady B says she's too classy to wear booty shorts. Good. Not really a city girl says the white girls are in the shortest shorts. I'll tell you what. Look at some footage of Water Street or Brady Street on a warm summer night on a Friday or Saturday. You will see many, many black girls and many chocolate booty cheeks. They wear damn near panties out there. It's so wild. And you can't, as a man, you can't even say nothing about it. Because it's almost like if we suggest that women dress a little more modest, because we know men way better than y'all, okay? And we know that some men take that as an unspoken invitation. So here's what's crazy about this. If we say, hey, ladies, you know what I mean? Just a little more modest, maybe tone it down a little bit. You know what women will do? They'll dress even more slutty because we told them to turn it down. By all means, I just do whatever you're going to do. Let me also say this. I'm not going to protect a woman I don't know. You just need to know that about me, because you can't get yourself in a situation as a grown woman making a bad decision. Get yourself in a situation. I don't know you. Well, I'm going to risk my life. Now this dude wants to shoot me. I don't know. Now neither one of you. I'll record it. I send it to the Milwaukee police, but I'm not, I can't do that. I learned that from a woman. Because I used to think, like, oh, if I see a woman in trouble, I'm going to save her. The woman that I was dating at the time, she said, you better not. You ain't going to be saving none of these other women that you don't know. Like, I don't need you getting killed saving somebody else. She said, you going to save me. You ain't saving nobody. I was like, word. She's like, and I can't use the word that she used. But she was like, don't save these H's. She was like, I'm a woman. I know some of these H's put themselves in that situation. They want somebody to come to their rescue. Just saying. I was invited to a hotel room by a woman, and I didn't go. And she got mad. Let me tell you why I didn't go. Because I didn't want to do what she maybe had on her mind, right?
And what was that?
Come on. She was like, Sherwin, she was in town. She's like, Sherwin, I'm staying at the Trade Hotel. Let's do dinner. She's like, I already knew what it was, because she's like, I'll pay for dinner. I'm like, oh, you're trying to buy some butt. She's like, oh, no, come meet me at 6 o'clock in the lobby. They got a nice little restaurant in the Trade Hotel, first floor. El Servo, the one that's up top, that one's decent, but the one on the lobby level is nice too. She's like, yeah, meet me for dinner. I got dinner, and then we can go hang out after dinner. I was like, no, I'm cool. And she got mad. I'm like, no, this. Because I'm not going to let her pay for dinner for me and then go up to the hotel room. Because I knew what she had on her mind. I wasn't even attracted to her like that. I can't do that. Women sometimes, I hate that y'all have to do this. It's called fawning, where sometimes a woman will give it up to a man that she doesn't necessarily want to because she might fear for her safety. And it's like, it's easier for her to avoid the conflict. Like, that's a horrible situation. If I don't want to do it, I ain't doing it, period. I don't care how much she begging. I ain't, no way, ma'am. But also, I know better than to go up to a woman's hotel room if I know what her intentions are. And if I don't want to meet her intentions, I'm not going to the hotel room. No, what am I going to do? Watch TV? No, I'm not going to go. Bill Cosby taught me that lesson. If you don't want to go, listen, if you don't want something to happen, don't go to the hotel room. Come on, y'all. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, some man is inviting you to a hotel room. What is y'all going to do? Play Connect Four? Stop it. Use your, I didn't know that was going to happen. Really? Come on, y'all. Don't go. 3 o'clock in the morning.
She might want to pay PS5.
Nope. No, thank you. In fact, I like, if I'm already at home, like, oh, Sherwin, come to my hotel room at 2 o'clock. No. I prefer sleep over Nookie.
Depends.
No, I don't have a scarcity mindset, brother. I also realized that I can have female friends that I never engage with physically because I don't need to. There are some men that every time, I got some friends I can't even hang out with because they don't know how to act around women. And I hate to have to admit this because this dude is even older than I am. He gets around a pretty woman. He don't know how to talk. He don't know how to act. It's like he's never been around a pretty woman before, and he feels like he needs to hit on her and, like, try to get her phone number and try to sleep with her because he's never around attractive women. If you're around attractive women all the time, sometimes they're not even attractive anymore because you realize how silly they are. And that takes away from it because there is no amount of beauty that I've ever seen that can make up for a bad personality. And a lot of times beauty is wasted on women that have horrible personalities because nowadays beauty is a personality trait. Like, that's their identity, their hair, their makeup, their clothes. Dreadful human beings, hated by everybody, can't keep a friend, can't, you know, honor their commitments. They're not a person of their word. They can't keep a job. They always argue and fighting with people. They got bad energy. They got bad luck. Their mama don't like them. Just those, but they're really attractive. And some men are just that stupid. If you see me out in the streets with a booger wolf, just know that her personality sparkles like a diamond and she is smart. Because I like smart women. I want to find a woman that's smarter than me. Because if I find one that's not smarter than me, conversation gonna fall flat real quick. So she might be kind of booger wolfy, but just think, oh, she probably is a candidate for a PhD from one of the many universities. I'm supposed to be talking about black millennials and traveling and black Gen Z, and we talked about booger wolves. Okay. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let me buy you a drink. I don't care what it costs, baby. And you can go and bring your friends. I bet you we hit it off, baby.
Not really, the city girl says, as a hugger, I just don't like touching hands like that. Hold on, let me get this straight. So you won't shake a hand, but you'll hug a body? You can wash your hands. If you hug a little filthy person, you got to take a whole shower and wash your clothes. I'd rather shake a hand. I'll shake somebody's hand and then just won't use that hand for anything until I can get to the nearest sink with some soap. Because I touch my face a lot, and that's how you get sick. People that touch their faces are more likely to get the germs and whatnot in their noses and eyeballs and mouths or whatever the case may be. But no, I don't. I tell you what, not really a city girl. When you were up here, was that last week? You came up here stalking. I think she was looking for you, Xavier. I think she wanted to see what you look like.
I have many women looking for me.
No, you don't. Relax. Nobody looking for you, man. So she was right here at this window right here, right? I tell you this, if I was a cop, I'd pull her over. But you got a permit for all that? Strapped. I mean, she was loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Man, hold on.
Shoot your shot.
Look, no, not with a listener. No, sir. Not a good idea. Because she all up in the chat. That's the last thing I need.
Exactly.
Have her all up in the chat. Linda be all up in the chat. Lady B be all up in the chat. If something goes down, you got to stay out the chat. You can't be in that. Yeah, I was with Sherwin last night. Giggle, giggle, giggle. No. Don't be doing all that. Putting our business out there. You got to stay out to chat with it. I said, if anybody in the chat, that's a no-no for me. In fact, I prefer people that don't even. I lie when people ask me what I do for a living. I don't even tell them. Because if you don't know already, then it's not for you. So I just make up stuff. I usually say that I'm a janitor. And I watch how people are disrespectful.
Janitors make good money sometimes.
But, yeah, if you tell somebody that, especially if you're at, I don't know, some fancy event, I'm like, oh, what do? I janit. I'm like, huh? I'm a janitor. You are not supposed to ask somebody what they do for a living when you first meet them. In fact, employment is not even supposed to come up. You're supposed to ask them, like, what do they do? What's their favorite activity? What's their favorite restaurant? What do they like to do for fun? You got to talk about everything else except what they do for a living, because what somebody does for a living should not be their identity. And when somebody told me that, like, Sherwin, stop asking people what they do for a living right when you first meet them, because the job they have might be just what they're doing to pay the bills. It's not who they are or what they ultimately are called to do. Could be very embarrassing for somebody. Like, if I ask somebody what they do for a living and they say OnlyFans, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't want to judge them on that. You got to sell pictures of your butt because you got to pay your rent. Don't judge anybody for having to sell butt pictures.
It's a good job.
Listen, if you like it, I love it. As long as you know that the pictures will live forever. That's the part about the internet that I don't know if people are quite understanding. I was just thinking about this the other day. I have been on the internet for 32 years. Isn't that wild?
Yes.
I got my first internet-connected computer for Christmas in 1994 when I was 19 years old. I ain't been the same since. AOL 2.0 was the wild, wild west. We didn't know how to act. We didn't know what the internet was. And back then, nobody had digital cameras. Webcams weren't standard with computers back then. In fact, cameras were thousands of dollars. That technology didn't become more common until like the early 2000s. Then people started taking pictures and computers were coming with cameras. Do you know what it's like meeting a complete and total stranger and have literally no idea what they look like? The risks we used to take. And man, have I been catfished before. Holy smokestack. I ain't going to tell that story.
What, the black Italian?
I had one worse than that.
Oh, yes. Please tell. You only have...
She was so... I was afraid. I was afraid to leave. I was like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in danger. That's how frightening she looked. I was like, if I leave, she might, like, lunge.
Black or white lady?
Like, Hispanic and something. It's mixed with something. I was just like, this...
So what do you want to do?
Oh, like, she's a big one.
That's not nice. You're not supposed to talk about somebody's being big.
Big women need love.
And she got in my car. Well, what she could get in my car. Some of her was still outside. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour three.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.